Hello and welcome to the Golf Pro Show. My name is Gary Shaw, a trainee professional at Nace Golf Club, and with me is...
Liam Grehan. I'm also a trainee professional. I'm at the K Club, just down the road, so looking forward to chatting to you today.
Yeah, we have a good topic today, I think. We're looking at why you should play golf, and I think this kind of came to our into our minds after seeing the Netflix series that's coming up. Liam, you were showing me the full swing, it's called.
Yeah, like it's a pretty cool time for Netflix to have shot a documentary with all the scandals between Liv and the PGA Tour. I think with how successful Drive to Survive was, being that it's the same producer producing this, I think it's going to bring a lot of new eyes to the game. And people will probably have a bit of interest in starting. So it was kind of cool to have a chat about maybe how we started and what people can get out of the game if they have an interest in it.
Yeah, and like what do you like about this Netflix series? What caught your attention?
It's pretty cool, like top players, like even Rory signed up late. There's Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, and then a few of the Liv players, like who originally signed up before Liv. So like I think there's Ian Poulter, who else is there? Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
Not sure if any of the other Liv players are there, but like you can see the kind of mindset they were going through from looking at the trailers anyway, when they changed their mind to go to Liv. So it'll be quite, it'll be dramatic, I'm sure. There'll be a few scandals, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I saw in the trailer they asked Poulter if he was going to leave and he didn't really answer, but...
Yeah, there was body language giving off an impression of something else. So yeah, definitely, it'll be interesting to say the least.
It looks really good. Like, it's something we've never really seen, never mind anyone else, but... Like, we've grown up watching Sky Sports.
Watching Tiger, Rory.
Filtered versions of the reality.
Yeah, you're only seeing one side of it. This is going to be the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Get a bit more depth to understand what they're really like. A bit more personality, which is going to be huge, really, because that's the one thing with golf. Maybe a little bit with social media, but definitely now they'll be peeling back the layers and showing us a little more. It'll be good.
Yeah, I think that's one thing social media has done. It's opened up the doors of what goes on behind the scenes. And even like some coaches are very active on Twitter, like Hank Haney. And
yeah, he can get himself into trouble.
Yeah, sometimes their tongue is hot, but that's what he's thinking. And that's what we didn't know, you know, behind the scenes with Tiger. And, you know, that's what these guys are actually like, you know.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's giving you their true character. So yeah, I think if you can do that with the players, you might fall out of love with players and you might fall in love with other players.
But everyone likes a villain and something like this. So like even watching Rory and Patrick Reed a week ago there in Dubai Desert Classic, like Patrick was kind of the villain, but it made the tournament, it made like brought eyes to it. So there was people getting up early out of bed just to watch that tournament. So I think it'll definitely help.
Absolutely. Like I couldn't believe how much Mickelson was siding with the Live Tour and all that. There's so much.
Oh, like when it all started, he was kind of the vocal advocate for Live from the PGA Tour and trying to play them off each other.
And like when I was young, he was always the good guy everybody loved.
Yeah, the big thumb up and happy-go-lucky swashbuckling golf. Yeah,
I think it's going to be brilliant. I wouldn't watch a huge amount of golf on TV, but I'm definitely excited to see this.
Yeah, 100%.
And do you think it's going to expose a new crowd to golf?
Definitely. Like, yeah. F1 took a huge ascension of viewership after Drive to Survive, and I think some of these players are so well known. Rory even coming and becoming involved towards the end. It's going to bring a lot of people to golf. We had a boom already post COVID, so kind of a lot of people probably have been exposed to it. It kind of suited after COVID. People had time off work. They were able to put in extra time playing golf, 4 or 5 hours, whatever, spending time with other people outdoors. So I think it's, on top of like the whole F1, how it boomed, I think the viewership may increase on Sky. But the other thing is, there's not people starting to play, or maybe on games, but they're not going to start driving F1 cars. Now they can actually start playing golf. So it's a bit different.
And did Rory... Was he not going to join this program or what?
No, he wasn't signed up at all. So when pretty much around the time of the FedEx Cup, I'm pretty sure they got they got involved with Rory. Okay. I think it's because of how everything happened with Liv, Rory becoming the spokesperson, because he was already contracted with Golf Pass on the Golf Channel. So Netflix and this production company is a different thing. So I think because of all the Liv stuff, Rory got involved. So shows you competition can get some good out of it.
Yeah, it's going to be tasty. So when's that coming out?
That's out the 15th of February. It's going to be cool.
Very soon. Yeah, and if it gets more people into golf, like I was the same in Formula One, I had to breathe what goes on in the background.
But once you see the drama, the stories, the people behind it, it helps.
I suppose that's the power of even podcasting. Like we're shown our day-to-day lives and what we're going through, you know, as PGA pros, and people maybe don't give a crap, but they probably just don't know. Like I continuously say it and always see it in the pro shop. People don't know that we go to Birmingham once a year. They don't know that we're in college, full stop.
Yeah, yeah. I'm finally here, and people are like, you're in college? Yeah,
3 years into it. They're like, yeah, and like that's not their fault. It's obviously maybe our fault or the PGA's fault. So raising awareness, showing what actually goes on behind the scenes makes us more relatable as well, because a lot of people have gone to college, so they can relate to that. And we're in the same college year as most people. We'll finish up in April or May or whatever. So yeah, I think that's the power of podcasting and social media and all that.
We need to just get Netflix to film us, but we have a bit of work to go.
We need to brush our hair. But yeah, interesting, and that's coming out probably within a week of this going live. So
yeah. It was kind of interesting from us chatting about this. It got us thinking a little bit more about how we originally started playing, and this will be a different route in, but like, say, Gary, when you were growing up, it wasn't through watching a Netflix documentary. It was probably more organic than that, was it?
Probably seeing my dad hit putts on a carpet in the hallway at home.
So you were like Tiger on the chair watching Earl.
Hitting balls into the washing machine. Like growing. No, my mother wouldn't let me do that. No, I used to compete against dad in a putting competition. I think we used to do it nearly every single night.
Class.
And I used to have a piece of paper, like a copybook, and if I got 3 putts in a row, I used to write wow on the paper.
Class.
And then I used to do a tumble. I'm not even joking. I used to do a tumble towards the thing that was collecting the balls, and then do that over and over. And whoever got the most out of, I think, 6 goals of 3. So we had 3 balls each, hit the 3, and if you got 3, you got a wow.
Brilliant.
So like as a 7-year-old, that was everything.
Great crack. Yeah.
And I thought it was
time with your dad as a kid, like, it's cool.
Yeah, priceless. Like, so that's how I started out. And then probably went out to the garden hitting little wedges. And then I actually built a pitch and putt course on my garden.
No way.
I had 8 holes. And I actually built one across the road then in my granddad's house. Well, little did he know. But I used to cut the greens. I used to cut the greens out in the garden. And they'd only be, a meter radius.
Yeah.
And I used to use a strimmer.
Up, you had to hit it straight.
I had one of the greens I kept particularly well. It was basically at the back door, and I used to cut that nearly every second night. Took great pride in that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
could have been a gardener and another
greenskeeper. Yeah, actually, when I was young, I always wanted to be a head greenkeeper. I thought it was the bee's knees, but
you enjoyed playing then.
Took to the ball then instead. But I used to use a strimmer, and I could get down as low as I wanted. Sometimes I went too low, but he got good at it, and they just, that's what I used.
Class.
Yeah, great.
It kind of, from when we were chatting earlier, you actually sent on to me that tweet from Andrew Putnam after playing in the AT&T Pro-Am. That was that was an interesting one.
Yeah, caught my eye today now. What did you like about it?
He kind of was saying how people need to start playing golf and the opportunities it can bring to them. So like, I'd say from this conversation, what we were getting into, like, how more eyes have been brought to golf and people may start playing. But Andrew kind of described how he spent a week playing the PGA Tour, playing like with CEOs of famous companies, athletes, comedians, even actors. Like, although he's the top of the game, it can actually happen playing another golf course. You just book in on a timesheet and you end up playing. You don't know who you're going to play with. So it's a cool way of meeting people, and you don't know who.
Yeah, like we had an open singles there today, and so we were looking at probably 20% visitors and 80% members. But the guests and the members and the visitors, they're all meeting each other, and it's actually great for the club as well to go meet guys in other clubs. And thankfully, a lot of the guys coming to Naas were very surprised how good, not very surprised, but they were delighted. They were delighted how good the greens were. And
for February in Ireland, it's...
Yeah, how dry the course was. So yeah, there's a huge positive... There's a huge positive side to meeting new people. And of course, when they happen to be a CEO of a company, that's twice as good. But making new friends is obviously huge. Networking, connections, all that. Golf is bred for that. Like,
did you see that account? What was it called? It was Paired Up or something. What is it called? Yeah, it was Paired Up Golf or something on Instagram. I just saw it there a couple of weeks back. And a guy rented an RV and drove around the 50 states of America playing municipal courses.
Yeah.
And like, his whole thing was, he like wrote a story and took a photo and kind of got to know his playing partner and wrote a story about them. So I think he played with like 250 people and like wrote stories about him. He played with Tiger's caddy from the 95 Masters when he was an amateur. And just how he just booked in on an online booking system to play on this course and got paired up with these. And that's what he did the stories about. So no matter if it is a CEO, if it is someone successful, you meet interesting people. You spend 5 hours, well, hopefully not maybe 5 hours, but 3 or 4 hours out playing with them. You get to know them. Like for me, actually it was an interesting one. When I moved to LA first, I spent my first month living on my uncle's couch and unemployed. Was trying my best on LinkedIn and sending my CV off to people. Got nowhere. And then my dad said, the Culver City Cougar football team running a golf classic. You should definitely go play in it. I did. Thankfully, Adrian Killigrew put me in touch or set me up playing with two pals of his. One of them was Andrew Gower. He was an actor. Was in, Monster Squad was his big movie. And he was like, he introduced me to friends of his in recording studios and actually started working in a recording studio for a little while through that.
Wow. So you were over there doing music.
I was originally going over there to work in music and obviously ended up playing or working in golf afterwards. But just through playing golf, spending time, getting to know Andrew, he liked me. I obviously can play golf to a decent level, but he saw I had a good attitude and introduced me to a pal of his that owned a studio in Studio City, actually. So true golf, it opens a lot of doors. You meet cool people and you never know what can happen. So it's a kind of a cool one when people are going to be coming to the game, new eyes to it. Just a little bit more perspective on what can come out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, one of the tweets I really liked there was, it's a thread, so one of the tweets in it was, face-to-face business meetings, maybe the social norm, but walking side-by-side outside is one of the best ways to have important conversation in a relaxed, disarming way.
It's true, yeah.
Like, the company I used to work for before the golf, I used to play with the CEO a little bit here and there. If I didn't play golf, there's no way I would have got to know him as well as I did.
And you got to spend time with him, pick his brain, get feedback. You'd learn tons.
Even got driving his Tesla. But yeah, it was great. But like, without golf, there's no way that would have happened.
Yeah.
It would have been just another digital marketer in the office. But because I was an ex-pro or scratch golfer or whatever, he was obviously more interested.
Yeah. And like, that's only a perk down the line when you're playing a bit. There's still the enjoyment of actually playing the game, getting better at it. Kind of, that's the main thing, like starting out, like the first time you flush a golf shot, there's nothing like it. That's what kind of gets you hooked. So there's a lot of benefits to just playing the game. You're out in nature, you're getting in exercise. You can spend time, like say when I started playing, it's playing with mum and dad growing up, playing with my family, and we had the Fox Grehan Little Ryder Cup camp. So we, like, there's lots of different ways to lead into golf. You can get lots of things out of it. So it's kind of it's a cool game to start and at any stage of life.
So there's huge benefits, I suppose. Connections, relationships, jobs, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah.
All those things stream from it. And then
health, everything. Like,
it's also a game, which is very enjoyable. Putting the ball in the hole, the least amount of shots. But if somebody was starting out, Liam, what would you say, what would you recommend, what would be like the first step and the second step and the third step?
I'd say starting out, like pitch and putt, par three courses, even the driving range. Just get a club in your hand, get hitting balls. A good actual new thing is like the likes of Top Golf or like even like K Golf World, some of the bars where you can play, and just to make it fun, lighthearted, enjoyable.
And is there any pressure on someone when they go to a driving range?
No. Well, like, go with a few pals. You don't need to go there with any goal in mind, really, starting out. Just see if you like it. Try out hitting a few clubs. And most people, like, when I bring pals from home that never played before, they always enjoy it. Like, so it's just to try and spark the bug to get going. So it's,
And would you recommend getting lessons?
I'd say get a taste for it first, right. Get out playing, try a par three course, and then obviously, being a golf professional, I'm going to recommend going to visit your PGA pro for lessons. It'll make it a lot easier starting out. So
particularly the pro and the K club and Nate. Yeah. How would somebody go for a lesson with Julian? How do they organise that?
Just book in on my pro agenda. You get it at the base of my little Instagram thing. You can go that way, or even just call the pro shop in the K club and look for me.
Yeah, and for myself, I have a Bookio booking engine. So if you just go to my Instagram, it's on that as well. So you get your lessons. You've shaped your game up to a decent level. You can get around. Would you then look for membership? Or maybe
absolutely, I'd say
green fees first.
Try play a few courses, absolutely. But even if you get a couple of pals together that you like to play with, definitely join a club. Right. Like there's certain clubs that are a little cheaper to join. There's Corbalis, even Hibernian Club, and run competitions as hell course in the K club sometimes.
What would you call cheap now for a year's membership?
300-400 euro.
Okay.
You can join, and then it might be like a pay and play thing.
Yeah.
If you're playing competition, you might have to pay an extra fee or something.
Yeah.
But it gets your handicap that you can play in these competitions, and even it actually opens you up that you can play in open competitions and other courses. So it's nice to have something to play for, and it kind of, especially like a lot of people that played other sports growing up, it keeps the competitive juices flowing when you're in later life, maybe, or when you're retired from the sport.
Yeah, it's probably worth noting that most courses would require that you have someone to reference to get you in.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of like Germany has a license to play golf, just to see that you can get around a golf course.
Right.
You do a test with a pro to get a license, but it's not quite that strict here. But
yeah,
just to be comfortable and make it enjoyable going around a golf course. If you're feeling stressed that you can't get around,
yeah,
you might want to take an extra few lessons or get to the driving range a little bit more.
Yeah. So Nace had a round of people coming into the course, new members. I think they're doing this second round in around March.
Oh, great.
The committee comes
get into golf kind of thing?
No, we're just taking applicants.
Oh, right.
So they're still taking people. Don't know what it's like in the K Club. Are they doing similar?
Yeah, they are. It's been very popular since COVID, since Michael, the new owner, took over. So I'm pretty sure there's a joining fee now, but it's very popular. With the Irish Open and everything coming, there's a bit of excitement around the K Club this year, so there's a lot of people coming.
As a PGA Pro now, is there anything you miss about being a general member of a club?
There actually is a lot.
What do you mean?
The Sunday comps back home in Mullingar were always great fun. You had your weekly comp. You can set up a few different games, the same people on a Sunday morning, and kind of play a sweet play for a few quids. Bit of slagging on the putting green before you're going out. All that stuff. Because you know everyone in the club nearly after a while. So there is a big social element to it, but there's also the competitive stuff. Like, when we used to play the senior cup stuff back in Mullingar, there was a lot of crack, a lot of enjoyment doing them.
Yeah, I remember as a junior, there was a competition every Tuesday morning.
We were
raring for that.
It's just our FedEx Cup was the Pepe Cup at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think we both have that title under our belt. But I remember Monday nights you'd barely sleep.
You're cleaning your clubs.
It was brilliant. We were only 10, 11, 12 years old, like all the way up to 17, 18, obviously. But yeah, that's the experience of a member of a club, is just fantastic, you know.
Yeah, there's a social side of it, the competitive stuff, and just getting to know a lot of people, so it's cool.
And teams as well. It's not just one-to-one, you know. There is team events and teams that you can join at all levels. You know, some of the higher handicap teams are fantastic. experiences as well.
Yeah, like even like we would have played a lot of like Barton Cup, stuff like that. There's even like for men and women, the mixed foursomes. There's tons of, I think like All Ireland Fourballs, like 20 handicaps and stuff. So there's, you don't have to be a pro to be able to compete, but you still, you go represent your club, you get to see another course, you're playing against someone from another part of the country. You never know who it is. It can be cool who you're playing against. So it's a nice way to get started. And hopefully after this whole Netflix documentary comes around, it brings more eyeballs to it. And it's a nice time of year with the spring happening and the weather getting a little bit better in Ireland. It'll be more conducive to getting out and playing. Won't be frozen and getting wet and everything else.
Yeah, summer golf in Ireland is actually brilliant. But
you can play till 11 o'clock at night.
It only lasts 3 weeks or so. But yeah, make the most of it when it comes. But yeah, that's really it. That's really what we want to talk about. Huge bonuses to playing the game. It's healthy, it's outdoors, you're meeting people, you're making connections. God knows what job will come at the end of your 4 hour round, hopefully only 4 hours. But yeah, it's great. We really enjoyed it through the years and
hopefully will in the future too, till old age.
Yeah, when we're on the PGA Live Tour. But yeah,
Seniors Tour.
But that's it, guys. Thanks for listening. You can catch us on socials. We're on Instagram, The Golf Pro Show, and Twitter as well, The Golf Pro Show. That's it.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Catch you again soon.
It's long, folks.
Ciao.